Greetings and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. My name is Brian Payne and I'm the chair of the Hospitality Ministries team. It's a joy to have you worship with us today. We invite you to fully participate. You'll find worship materials in the description section of our live feed. As we prepare our hearts and minds to worship, we invite you to light a candle as a sign of Christ's presence with you today. May God be with you as we enter this holy time together.
Greetings, my friends, and welcome to this time of worship at West End United Methodist Church. I'm so glad to be with all of you as we worship together today. I hope that you'll take a moment to greet one another in the comment section on Facebook or on live stream. One of my favorite things to do on Sunday afternoons is to go back and look at all of the comments and all of the people that were participating in worship and how you share with one another in that comment stream. That comment stream will help you participate fully in worship during this time together. You'll have an opportunity to register your attendance. Hopefully that link is showing up now in the comment section, and to let us know that you are here and who might be worshiping alongside of you. There will be information about opportunities to share prayer concerns, opportunities to give, and some of the other announcements about ministries in the life of the church. Hopefully also alongside in that comment stream, there will be a link to a letter that was published this week by the bishops of the Southeast Jurisdiction of the United Methodist Church. They would like all congregations to read this together on this Sunday, so we're offering this link to you so that you can hear from our denominational leaders in this important moment in the life of our communities and our country. A few other announcements as we gather this morning. Just a note that our lights are not working in the choir loft this morning, and so our singers are down in the pews today, which is wonderful. I have people to look at while I'm preaching, and we'll get to hear their beautiful music coming from a different place in the sanctuary this morning. Also, we wanted to let you know that Camp WE starts this Monday. This is Camp West End. It's an opportunity for children to learn and study the Bible together and sing and have all sorts of fun activities, and there's still time to register for that. So hopefully that link is also showing up right on the comment section. We have, Brandon Baxter and Katie Minnis have started a new ministry of doing interviews with some folks connected with our congregation and our community, and they've been really wonderful to listen to. And I wanted to tell you that this Thursday, June 18th, Brandon Baxter will be interviewing Dean Emily Towns. She's the dean of the Vanderbilt Divinity School. We had already invited her months ago to join us this September. She'll be preaching and teaching among us this September, and so participating in that interview will be a great way for you to get to know her and her important work. Finally, as the summer continues, we are always involved in our partner ministry, Project Transformation, and we have a video from them that we want to share with you as a ministry moment this morning.
Transformation, our model of ministry, is built on the three C's. Children. Our summer and after-school programs provide children with literacy and holistic programming to engage the mind, body, and spirit. College students, planning and leading these programs are talented college interns who serve as mentors and role models to our children. And churches, we partner strategically with churches in changing neighborhoods to provide safe spaces to cement new relationships that invest both in our young people and our community. The beautiful thing about Project Transformation is that we bring together all three of these C's into one multidimensional ministry. Our mission is to transform communities by engaging children, college students, and churches in purposeful relationships. And that's not changing. But this year, PT must look different than in our first 8 years. We have been listening to the needs of our communities, monitoring guidelines from health officials, and working with our board of directors and community partners to plan our response to the COVID-19 crisis. We have made the difficult decision to not offer in-person programs this summer. While we are deeply disappointed, we are even more motivated to find new ways to live out our mission. As we listen to our PT families about how we can support them during this crisis, three clear needs have emerged. Feeding. Our families need access to nourishing food now for their children. Second, feeling and play. Like adults, children are experiencing big emotions as their worlds have been upended. They need space to understand and name those emotions. And third, reading. This public health emergency has only widened educational inequities that were already there. Now more than ever, the literacy programs of Project Transformation are needed to help fill that gap. Feeding, feeling, and reading. These are our priorities for 2020. So instead of in-person programs this summer, Project Transformation will provide 8 weeks of virtual summer programs for children and youth in collaboration with our community partners and our national network of PT chapters. Here's what that will look like. Every Monday through Thursday, we'll distribute grab-and-go meals, books, supplies, and other fun and educational resources to more than 600 children at our 9 site churches across Tennessee. Second, we'll go digital to share interactive videos and learning sessions focused on literacy, social-emotional learning, and camp-like enrichment activities. Third, we're joining with some of our campus ministry partners to coordinate weekly vocational exploration experiences for college-age young adults, both for those serving with PT this summer and a wider audience as well. Of course, we have never served during a global pandemic, and we are learning more every day. There are many unknowns, so we are staying nimble. Because of our deep commitment to meeting the critical needs of our communities, while staying true to PT's values, mission, and vision, we believe God is inviting Project Transformation to respond to this crisis. Because we understand the critical link between literacy and social-emotional health, we believe Project Transformation is equipped for just such a time as this. And because of our established network of church and community partners, we believe Project Transformation is in a unique position to impact the lives of families we serve. COVID-19 has disrupted our lives in profound ways, but it has also revealed our desire for deep connection with each other. Leaning into our relationships, we trust God will lead us in imagining something new and beautiful.
Join in a song of sweet accord. wondrous love. When our time of blessing comes, when strangers are in our midst,
may we welcome them with open arms and generous hearts.
Come to us now as we gather to worship,
that we might feel your presence and experience your grace.
If we confess our sins, God, who is faithful, will forgive us. We turn our hearts towards God now as we confess together. God of grace and glory, we thank you that you judge us not by the perfection of our actions, but by our readiness to live boldly by faith. We long to live in ways that please you, but so often we fall short. We fail to see your face in the eyes of a stranger. We are unable to believe that you can do all things, even one that seem incredibly unlikely. We are reluctant to set aside our hurt, our anger, and our disappointment. We put our trust in others rather than you. Forgive us, O Lord. Help us as individuals and as a congregation to trust you and follow where you lead, that your name may be glorified in all the earth. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
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 And also with you.
The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A reading from Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 to 15. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre, as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." And they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of choice flour, knead it, and make cakes." Abraham ran to the herd, took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where is your wife Sarah?" And he said, "There in the tent." Then one said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent entrance behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. It had ceased to be with Sarah in the manner of women. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I have grown old, and my husband is old, shall I have pleasure?" The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old?' Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? At the set time, I will return to you in due season, and Sarah shall have a son." But Sarah denied, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. He said, "Oh yes, you did laugh." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I would love for all of the children to come a little bit closer to where I am on the screen. I love to laugh, and I bet you love to laugh too. I love hearing you laugh when we're at church together and in the hallways, or something happens in the worship service that's funny, and I just love hearing your laughter. Laughter is such a wonderful thing, and there's a lot of laughing going on in the Bible story that we just heard. Abraham and Sarah were two people that God chose, and God said, "I'm going to give you a big family." And Abraham was 99 years old, Sarah was 90 years old, and they hadn't had a baby before. And so God came to visit them to say, "In a year's time, Sarah's going to have a baby." And when Sarah heard that, she laughed. She laughed and laughed and laughed and thought it was the funniest thing she had ever heard. She just couldn't believe it was true. Later, a year later, she gave birth to a son. What God had said came true. And when he was born, she laughed for joy. The first time she laughed because she didn't believe it and she thought it was silly. The second time she laughed, she was surprised with joy at what God had done. And do you know what she named her little boy? She named him Isaac, which means laughter. I just think it's really important that we laugh, and that we laugh a lot. Now, we don't want to laugh at other people or make fun of other people, but when we laugh for joy at the beauty of the world, at something really clever that somebody said, or something that some cute puppy video on YouTube, that laughter is a gift from God. And your laughter as children really helps us grown-ups to feel God's joy. So let's pray together and thank God for laughter. Gracious God, we thank you so much for the gift of laughter, for those things in nature that make us laugh, for those funny things that our family and friends say that make us laugh. May our laughter always bring you joy. May we find ways every day to laugh and rejoice at who you are and how much you love us. I thank you especially for these children whose laughter brings so many of us joy. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, normally, as if we know what normal is anymore, normally this time of year, my family would be getting ready for our family camp meeting. Now, if you're not very familiar with me and my family and my story, my family has this almost 200-year tradition of gathering in Brownsville, Tennessee for a week for an old-fashioned Methodist camp meeting. We go to church twice a day, we sing for 20 or 30 minutes at the beginning of every worship service, and we sit around outside in the middle of July and drink sweet tea and tell stories. This year, we're not sure what's going to happen with camp meeting. Some of our family leaders are gathering tomorrow, actually, to make a decision about what we should do. So I would appreciate your prayers that we make good and wise decisions. But one of the things I love the most about camp meeting, and one of the things I'll miss if we're not able to have it this year, is sitting around with family members and telling family stories. I never knew my grandfather. I never knew most of his brothers or his sister. But I feel like I know them because of all the stories that I got to hear as a child growing up. Now, if you have family stories, you know that a lot of times these stories are not quite based in fact. They get embellished as they get passed down, and the characters may shift and change, and family members get into arguments about, no, that's not the way it happened. It happened this way. It happened that way. But somehow through the telling and the hearing of these stories, we learn about our ancestors. I feel like I know my grandfather and my great uncles and my great aunt because of the stories that were told about them. I know something about their character. Throughout the summer, we're going to be reading together the book of Genesis, and we're going to be hearing the stories of the family of God. These stories are focused on one particular family, Abraham and Sarah and their descendants. And the stories over the years and over the telling may be not quite based in historical fact and how everything happened, but what we see unfolding in these stories is the character of our ancestors and the character of God. These stories tell us about the human family, and it's not a perfect family. As we go through these stories this summer, we're going to see a lot of dysfunction, a lot of conflict, even a lot of hatred within these families. And yet we're also going to see a God who is faithful to God's promise. The promise was first uttered in the 12th chapter of Genesis. The first 11 chapters of Genesis are sort of about the beginning of the world and the story of Noah and the Tower of Babel and all of that. And then in chapter 12, God speaks to a man named Abram. And God chooses Abram and his wife Sarai, later to be called Abraham and Sarah. And he says to them, I'm going to choose your family for a particular purpose. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. God does not choose Abraham and Sarah to give them a special privilege or to raise them up above everybody else, but to use them as a vessel through which God is going to bless the whole world. All the nations of the earth will be blessed in you. And so Abraham and Sarah receive in chapter 12 this promise that they will be the parents of a great nation, that they're going to have offspring. But here this morning, we find ourselves in chapter 18, and the promise hasn't been fulfilled. Years have gone by. Decades have gone by. And next week, we're going to hear part of the story of what happened when Abraham and Sarah tried to make the promise fulfilled on their own. They took matters into their own hands and caused a lot of harm and pain. But God has returned to them in chapter 18 to say, this time next year, Sarah will have a child. And as I just shared with the children, as Sarah overhears that promise, she laughs. She's standing behind the tent flap. She doesn't think that the messengers can hear her, but they do. And they ask, why did Sarah laugh? And it's this hilarious little exchange where she says, oh, I didn't laugh. And the last word of the story is the messenger saying, oh, yes, you did laugh. But it's funny, isn't it? It just makes me laugh. It's a funny story But why is Sarah laughing? Because she doesn't believe it. She and Abraham have given up. They have reached the point in this story where they think it is impossible that God's promise will be fulfilled. Abraham is 99 years old. Sarah is 90 years old. It is biologically impossible for her to have a baby. And so this laughter comes from a place of disbelief, a place of despair, because in her mind, there is no way. And just so you don't blame Sarah for laughing, Abraham laughed the same way in chapter 17. God came to Abraham and said, Sarah's going to have a baby really soon. And Abraham fell on his face and laughed because it was so ridiculous. Now we know how the story unfolds. We know that Sarah does have a baby and the nation of Israel is born. But we can't judge Sarah and Abraham for their disbelief, for their laughter of despair in this moment. At least I can't. Because when I read this story, I see myself right there with Sarah. Having given up hope, underestimating what God will do. As we stand in this moment in our community, where we see once again the seeds of racism that were planted so many years ago in our nation coming to fruition and continuing to be lived out in our institutions and our systems, and I see the divisiveness that's happening in some of the dialogue in our culture right now, it is easy to reach a place of despair and think, there is no way that we can fix this. There is no way that this can be healed. I wake up every morning with this sense of heaviness and despair, like I don't know what to do. I can't fix this. But it struck me as I read the story this week that God has a message for Sarah and for Abraham. And for us, the messenger says, is anything too wonderful for God? Have you forgotten who we're talking about? Have you forgotten the God of promise? Have you forgotten the God who created this beautiful world and humankind in God's image and called us very good? Have you forgotten the God who called you and set you on this journey in the first place? Have you underestimated the power of God to bring about God's purposes? And then I realize that in all of my struggle, all of my prayer, all of my work that I'm doing, I've been trusting myself. I've been putting my trust in my own intellect, my own training, my colleagues, and our ability to work this out. And I haven't been turning to God. I haven't kneeled in prayer and said, God, help us, show us the way, because it is too big for any of us. Bearing a child was too much for Abraham's and Sarah's bodies. And yet, through the power of God, she gave birth to a son. This turmoil and strife and racism and sin and injustice that we are living in is too much for any one of us, for any congregation, for any group of people to solve. But through the power of God, God can bring about God's purposes, that all people would be one, that all would be recognized and celebrated as made in the image of God, that there would be enough for everyone, that every person would know that they are beloved and belong. Maybe you have come to a place of lost hope and despair. in other places in your life. Maybe you've been trying to reconcile a relationship, or maybe you've been looking for that job that just hasn't arisen, or trying to find God's plan for your life, or trying to have a baby of your own, or go through the process of adoption and doors keep closing and you want to give up, and your laughter is laughter of despair. Well, hear the word of God's holy messenger in this story. Is anything too wonderful for God? Are we underestimating the power of our God to renew, to reconcile, to break the chains of oppression and lift up the lowly? We cannot do this on our own, but through the power of God, through the Holy Spirit, through placing our trust again and again in God, there is nothing too wonderful for our God to do among us. So, my friends, let us be people of hope, placing our trust in God and God alone. Amen.
And now I invite you to join me as we affirm our faith using number 883, a statement of faith of the United Church of Canada. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. As we come to a time of prayer this morning, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you would like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout this week, please follow the link under the Contact Us on our website. Or you may share your prayer request in the comments. Just know that that is a public forum. This morning, we pray for the family and friends of West End member William Castleman, who passed away on Thursday, June 11th. A small graveside service with the family will be held on Tuesday, June 16th. And now prepare us, God, for a time of prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God of our laughter and of our sorrows, who hears us when we call and who knows our every thought, fear, hurt, and hope, many of us come before you this day with lingering pain, wondering, how long, O Lord? How long must we be separated from our family and friends? How long before life can just be normal? And from an even deeper, festering, agonizing wound, how long must racial injustice continue? Lord, we recognize our complicity in the sins that have led us to this pain. We ask for your help as we root out our own racism and the white supremacy out of our own lives and out of the places where we work, we pray, and we play. We continue to cry out, how long must discrimination and violence be enacted against our transgender neighbors? How long must our LGBTQIA siblings wait to feel safe, to dance, to love, or just to live? God, you call us to the work of justice as a daily affirmation of our commitment to love our neighbor as ourselves. Justice is not merely a checklist of books to read or buzzwords to use. You call us to daily action in every aspect of life that affirms our kinship with you and with one another as fellow bearers of your image. We take comfort, God, that you are with us on this journey and that you give us examples and instruction throughout Scripture. Give us strength and give us courage for this journey. God, we thank you for the gifts of your mercy every day, for the changing of the seasons, for the glory of the natural world, for every bee and every bird, every brook and every mighty waterfall. We give you thanks. We ask your protection on those who work on the front lines, our essential workers who make our living possible. We pray for those who are ill, for those who cannot be with loved ones who are ill, for those who are on the threshold of this life to the next. Bless us each in our homes until we can be together once more, as we pray the prayer that your Son taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We invite you now to give your tithes and offerings so that our congregation can continue our vital ministries in the community and throughout the world. You can give through our website or text to give. You can also mail in a check. We realize right now that many are suffering economically, so we encourage you to give as you are able. We know that God can multiply these gifts for God's glory and for the benefit of God's kingdom. So let us give with joy this morning.
Oh,
I send us forth now with these words from the letter to the Ephesians. Now to the one who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine. To God be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever and ever. Amen.
Alleluia.